This year's St. Patrick's Festival brings an exploration of grief, memory and musical tradition with Obber, Journey of a Lament, taking place on Sunday, March the 16th at TUD Grange Gorman. This event delves into the lost art of laments, once a central part of mourning ritual all across Europe. At the heart of the evening is Fermanagh performer Roche, a youth and UCC academic Marion Caulfield. Together they will explore the echoes of the Irish Kina, tracing the cultural significance of these ancient traditions and their modern revival. I'm delighted to be joined by Marion Caulfield from our Cork studio and by Roche, who joins us on the line. You're both very welcome.
Thank you.
Now, Marion, could we start by explaining what keening is and how it came to influence your academic work? But we all have that image of a group of women, usually in like an old thatch cottage, crying over a dead corpse.
That's right. Yeah. So keening was something Quina. Keening is the English kind of known word for what was an Irish tradition, an Irish language tradition called Quina, meaning to cry. And it was the common ritual practice at funerals. So, you know, when somebody died, in a society or in a community, the keening women would be called. Sometimes they were women from the family of the deceased person, but often, and more often than not, kind of when it began to die out, they were paid women who came. They could come, they could be called from anywhere, really, within the locality, and they would sit with the deceased. And they would, for all intents and purposes, and, you know, when we kind of learned about, keening in written contexts, mm-hmm. From sort of colonial discourse, it was very negative. It was, you know, these crazy women crying and pulling their hair out and pulling at their clothes and tearing at their chests and wailing and bawling. Mm-hmm. That did happen. That did go on. But also kind of weaved in around that was a sort of a structure where the women would eulogise over the dead person and talk about how wonderful they were, and, you know, how what a great father, great wife or husband, you know, great to the community.
So they'd be very personal and very particular the dead person.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, because we usually hear, you know, a cone, but we don't get the follow up, which just shows the Quina as being so, you know, so personal. It must have been very good then support for the grieving family.
Well, that's one of the, I suppose people have looked back at the records and they've looked at, you know, what the function of keening was. And one of the functions was that it was a support to the, you know, the keening woman, kind of, you know, she was the person who helped everybody to cry, basically, and helped the community in a way to sort of, it's thought anyway, that she helped the community to kind of re-establish itself after the deceased had left. And, you know, she'd be going through, you know, they talk about the keen as something that maybe resembled in the day something like the five stages of grief, where, you know, she'd take the community through the, you know, missing him and how awful life was going to be without him, and then talk to the ancestors and get the ancestor, telling the ancestors, yes, he was coming. And then sort of, you know, the kind of, I suppose, coming around to the fact that he's gone. And there'd be a piece where they'd be calling him back from the dead, or her back from the dead, and then a kind of a general acceptance that he was gone. But often as well, then weaved in amongst that rhetoric would be some things that the keening woman, they were very clever, they weren't just old wailing old women, they often weaved in curses, bitching about the neighbour, or often they can be weaving in things about rebellion. You know, the seat of rebellion is said by some to have started with keening women.
Arusha, when did you come in contact with Quina and finding, we're going to play some of the wonderful recordings in a moment, some of that you have incorporated into your own oeuvre and music?
Yeah, so I heard it from Aisling Orney Hayes, Dublin Digital Radio programme. I think there was a keening episode and I just came across it and then discovered the three lasting recordings. And then actually there was a keening exploration with ecological grief kind of event that Marion was presenting at. And mm-hmm. I also, on the early days of the two songs, I presented my two songs. And it was a great insight. I learned so much from Marion and carried that on, and carried that research that she's carried on from my gigs. And that was the time I
and maybe
discovered
talk
it.
Us in. We have of course your own track from Malayne, but the Queen and Namar of Bridget. Where did you become aware of that? And could you just talk us into it before we play it, please, Roisin?
Yeah, the Queen and Amarov. I think that was the one from Aisling's show, and I was just starting to explore a lot of kind of cathartic. It just kind of happened to happen at the one time. I was exploring a lot of cathartic, kind of booming soundscape music, and was kind of thinking how all these Keening kind of sounds, like, we don't know what they would have sounded like, but they would have been somewhat experimental. So I wanted to kind of do something similar and explore the catharsis alongside something that's been lost. So that those two marry, the merriment of those two things, that really spoke to me.
Yes, Marion, because there aren't that many. Like, it started to fade out at the turn of the last century. Would that be correct?
I suppose, yes. I mean, it was kind of on its deathbed, really, I suppose, from the times of the famine, you know, when people were leaving Ireland, you know, and Irish language was sort of being decimated. So, and it became an unpopular, you know, when we sort of, you know, we were showing ourselves as this new Catholic Irish nation and all of our wonderful traditions. But Keening wasn't one of the traditions that was kind of included in that kind of realm of Irish tradition. So it was kind of left behind. And also, you know, it was an oral tradition, you know, Irish traditions and Irish cultural forms were oral, you know, nothing was ever written down. So people learned, the women learned this from their grandmothers and their mothers. And when the Catholic Church really didn't like the Keeners, you know, they were constantly for hundreds of years trying to sort of decry them and you know, banning them and banishing them from from funerals. And then eventually they sort of the funerals kind of were taken over by the Catholic Church, and they left the wake house and went into the respectability of the church. So, you know, it just died out and was stigmatized, and it wasn't a respectable thing to be doing anymore now that we were kind of modern and Catholic and very respectable, you know.
And I guess if they were sowing sedition at some of them, you know,
and
giving
exactly.
out that the when the British were in charge,
yeah.
they wouldn't have been too happy about some of these funeral houses.
Well, they wouldn't have liked it. They didn't like it because it was full of secrecy. They didn't understand it. It was in Irish. So, you know, they didn't know what these women were weaving,
yes.
but they knew that they were stirring up something, because, you know, wakes were fairly drunken, lively places, and get a good woman stirring up the rhetoric around rebellion, and you'd have the men sort of, you know, doing all sorts and getting stirred up. And it was, they were dangerous voices, you know. They were the social influencers of their time, according to some of the experts, you know.
Well, let's hear. There aren't that many existing recordings,
no.
I don't think.
No.
And one of the people we have is a Keener called Bridget.
Mm-hmm.
And this, let's listen to her now.
Oh, no, get oh, no. Oh,
there. That's Bridget, one of the surviving audios of Keener. And I'm talking to Marion Caulfield and Roche. Roche, this is the one of the Keeners that you have incorporated into your music.
It's a kind of a mixture of a little bit of that one and mostly another one collected by Sydney Robertson Cowell, is it, Marion?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and
they were sort of, they were collected by two different people, actually. So the Kitty Gallagher and the Bridget Mullen were collected by two in the 1950s by two, an American and a Canadian anthropologist. You know, one is very tuneful. The Kitty Gallagher one that you do, Roche, is, it's a beautiful tune. And the typical kind of keen really would have been what Bridget was doing. Although, you know, some commentators suggest that the Bridget Mullen record was, you know, really not the best quality because, you know, she's hardly, you know, you can hardly hear anything she's saying, and it's thought to be a kind of a, you know, not the best. It was dying out by that stage, by the 1950s, so a lot of people just didn't remember the words, you know.
It's very wild old, though, isn't it? It's so guttural.
It is so
of the land, isn't it? You could be sinking down into the grave with her.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, let's listen to the other one. This is from an unknown keener.
Oh, ho, ho, no, so, ho, and oh, ho, 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 no. Oh, ho, ho, no, so, ho, no, good,
It's like she's in reverie, isn't it?
It was, they were amazing, really. They were very cathartic. And often when they were doing the O'Cohan is a word that means kind of, oh, woe is me. Mm-hmm. And it's said by some that, you know, this was like, you know, the O'Cohan should never really be sung by anybody who didn't have the skill, because it was like putting a spiritual sword in the hands of a child. Because that O'Cohan, if it was loud enough and raucous enough, it was deemed to be the thing that opened up the portal to the other side, so that she could talk to the ancestors, and so the soul could go to the other side safely and happily without being, you know, they were very fearful of the soul not going across to the other side, so they did everything in their power to make sure that that the soul went. You know, they, you know, if anybody remembers or has heard about people covering mirrors and, you know, make the place almost kind of unrecognizable, and so that the soul would kind of float along to where the keener was and rise on up to the ancestors, where she would have prepared the way for them. With her keening and her crying that was loud enough and ugly enough to be heard on the other side.
Now, Roche, you recently won two RT Folk Awards, including Best Original Folk Track for Keena. Isn't it wonderful that would receive such recognition and then this whole connection with the past and with the keening women?
Yeah, it's great to bring it to light. I mean... it was never expected. I was just listening to it and wanting to put it in my own kind of vernacular and my own kind of style. But it seems to be something that we're revisiting after perhaps years of conflict and being able to look back in the past from a wider perspective. And yeah, it's really, really great for people to know more about it, because, like, as Marion just explained, that whole concept of the portal and that this kind of deep rooted mythological, you know, they had their minds in both the other world and the here world, and it's just beautiful, kind of this
and
balance.
Roche, how do you see that portal? Is it the what exists beyond death is what interests you?
I think it's kind of the how, I suppose, intuitive the Keeners would have been is what really interests me, and mm-hmm. how intuitive, guttural, in the present moment rather than the other world or the afterlife or whatever it is. It's like how in touch with the present and, you know, in the room that they were, and like how powerful it was at the time, like to transport the soul into another realm, you really had to be in touch with something really intuitive. So I think that's what's really inspired me.
Well, I think we should listen to you singing Cuíonn an Amárach now, so we can see how you incorporate both those original tracks and then your own wonderful voice.
Oh, ho, 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 no. Oh, ho, ho, no, kiss, oh, ho, no, kiss, you were my dream. Oh, 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 oh,
Cuíonn an Amárach there from Roche, from her album Mullaine. A wonderful track there, Roche. Marion, are there any Keeners left in Ireland, or is it far too long ago that anyone would even remember being at a funeral with Keeners?
Well, another academic who has done some research on this is Michelle Collins, and she did find, and I think one of the women actually is coming to the festival to talk as well in our piece, Sarah Grealish, who comes from a tradition of Keeners. I don't know if she actually performs Keens like they would have been performed mm-hmm. in the past, but no, there really aren't. You know, there are people who still do, I suppose, Keening in that form just died out. And yes. then I suppose it kind of reinvented itself a little bit when people started doing keening. It became a bit more acceptable at funerals if it involved, you know, religious references. So, you know, the Virgin Mary keening, or not the Virgin, you know, Mother Mary keening about her son on the crucifix. And then it became more tuneful. And then it became, I suppose, that kind of a version of, so Iarlo Lernard does a beautiful version. And a few other people have done a beautiful version of Cuíonn an Amárach, which exists. And it's a stunning It's a stunning interpretation of the Keane, and that would have been a bit more acceptable, I suppose, in society. But no, there aren't. So, like, my research is based on some workshops that happened where people were trying to kind of reimagine it as a modern form of keening, and modern in a workshop sort of retreat, weekend retreat sort of situation. And I participated in some of those retreats as well. And some amazing things happened at those retreats, really. An awful lot of healing, an awful lot of people reconnecting with their cultural history, connecting with the Irish language. So there are people sort of doing things with keening. And, you know, sort of, I suppose the only thing that we can do is reimagine it, really, because the original and the old keens are gone.
Which I'm sure is what you and Roche will do in Journey of a Lament.
Roche is amazing. It's great to hear her bringing it to the world.
Isn't it just fantastic? Yeah. Journey of a Lament is part of St. Patrick's Festival on Sunday, the 16th of March. That's at TUD Grange Gorman. More details on stpatricksfestival.ie. Marion Caulfield and Roche, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much.